I'm very honored today just to bring you His Word. Every time I get into the pulpit, I fear and tremble. I don't ever want to be in a place where it's my words. I want God's words to go forth. So it's always my prayer that the words that go forth, that take root in the heart, are the words of the Lord, not Craig's words, okay? You don't need Craig's words. Craig's words don't change anything. God's words change things. Amen? So I ask you to continue to pray for me as I seek the Lord for direction for our future and the things that we're going to be looking at in the coming months and the coming years together. Amen? Amen. Amen. And I'm just excited at what He has. Today, we're going to wrap up this series on fear, okay? And so last week we took a break from that a little bit, and we talked about the joy of the Lord a little bit, and that we need to choose joy despite the circumstances and the trials that we go through in this life. You guys okay? I see a lot of this going on. Maybe we could do that. How about on the lights? You guys okay? Can you see? You want to hit? You need a few more? Anybody dozing off yet? Okay, because if... All right, we'll get you woke up. All right, praise the Lord. Here we go. All right, we've been in this series dealing with fear. And fear is something that you and I all deal with, right? One level or another. We understand that there's a healthy fear, and it's the healthy fear that we have. We're called to fear the Lord. Amen? But there's also the debilitating fear, and that's the fear that we've been dealing with. And that's the fear that basically cripples us, it ensnares us, it paralyzes us, it keeps us from moving forward. We took a good look at what fear was, and we understand that fear is a spirit, okay? It's not a spirit of God, it's a counterfeit from the enemy, and it will always want to do contrary to what God wants us to do. And it will always be speaking to us the opposite of what God wants us to do. It is a spirit, and it's always looking for a place to land. And the question that we had to ask ourselves is, are we leaving any doors open? Are we leaving any windows open? Are we leaving any cracks open in our lives for fear to come in and take over? And this is the thing that the Holy Spirit gave me, and I've said this in every message, is that fear is nothing more than a lying fortune teller. That's all it is. The fear is trying to foretell your future, but it's a lying spirit, and it will always try to tell you that it'll never work out, you can't do it, you don't have enough, I won't, I can't, all of these different things. That's the voice of fear speaking. It's attempting to destroy the work of God in you and keep you from growing and maturing in your faith. We looked at the fear of man, and we looked at it in Saul's life, King Saul's life. And we understand that fear is always speaking, and that there's always voices speaking into our lives. You and I, especially in the day and age that we live in, we must have discernment. Amen? We must have spirit-led discernment. God's voice must loom larger than any other voice in our lives. And sometimes we do magnify the voices of culture over the voice of the Lord. But we're not called to magnify the voice of culture. We're called to magnify the Lord. Amen? And that's one of the things that we have to do when we combat the fear of man. Because I will tell you, anytime that you set out to do something great for God, it can be in your heart to do this great thing for God, there will always be the voice of man rising up and telling you that you can't do it. Even Nehemiah, when he was rebuilding the wall for the Lord, he had the Sanballats come and antagonize and mock and come against and ridicule everything that he was doing. But the voice of the Lord prevailed, because the voice of the Lord is greater than anything this world can offer and anything our enemy can offer. God's voice has got to be the largest voice that we have dominant in our lives. We looked at the fear of failure and how fear of failure keeps us living small. You and I are not called to live small lives. We are called to do great things for God. Amen? We are called to step out in faith. We are called to ask, actually be spirit-led risk takers. And I do say spirit-led, because when we're spirit-led, we're really not taking risk, are we? When we're spirit-led, we're walking in the ways of God. To some people, they might think you're crazy, but the reality is if you're spirit-led and you're walking in the steps that God has ordered for you, you can walk with confidence and assurance and faith in your heart that God will bring you through. See, the fear of failure is always magnifying the opposite of what God desires. But we looked at the truth, and the truth is that we are not called to magnify the mountain, we are called to magnify the Lord. The truth is that His sacrifice on Calvary, His sacrifice on the cross, not only saved you and I from an eternity in hell, but it saved us and it empowered us so that we could actually live this thing out. Amen? That brings me great hope. But let's just call fear what it is. Let's call fear of failure what it is. Because fear of failure will always cast a shadow. And it's usually, you tried that before and it didn't work, and God wants you to try something again. Do you think every time a batter gets up into that box that they hit a home run? No. I guess you do when you're facing Kimbrel. But that's just another thing altogether. Sorry, Rose. I couldn't resist. But when they get up into that box, sometimes they swing and miss, don't they? But many times they actually land it and they put it into the bleachers and sometimes out on Waveland Avenue. And it's an amazing thing when that happens. Yes. Oh no. Rosie's walking out. She's had enough. Okay. We'll edit that out, Rosie. Okay. Thank you, Lord. But let's call fear what it is. It's bondage. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in bondage to fear. So we looked at the fear of man, the fear of failure. We looked at how the fear of failure, it's cloaked in past defeats, in an atmosphere of hopelessness. But God will always confront that. And we looked at Gideon's life. And we looked at how God came to Gideon. Gideon was a product of the culture. He was a product of the culture in a generation that had been telling all the stories about God, but they hadn't been living it. And they were living under the Midianite oppression. But here's Gideon, a mighty warrior. And it took the angel of the Lord to come and call him by his real name. Trust me, Gideon, you're a mighty warrior. God will confront your fear, and He will address the bad thinking in your life, and He will redirect it where the real thinking has to take place. Sometimes we rely on idols, just like they did in that culture. They had erected Asherah poles in the high places of worship instead of altars to the Lord. And oftentimes, God will have us remove those Asherah poles in our own lives, those places that we bow down to things in this life. It could be the god of money. It could be the god of entertainment. It could be the god of relationships or whatever it is. But the Lord will always confront those things, because He's not going to move on a sacrifice that isn't pure. He's going to move on a pure sacrifice. And friends, when we bring the sacrifice of praise to the Lord, let's bring it from a pure heart unto the Lord, undefiled and tainted by the things of the world, but let it come from a pure heart that's been consecrated and set apart and circumcised unto the Lord. Amen? Amen. God will confront that. He will have us remove those things. He's not asking for you and I to have all the resources. Remember what Gideon did? He had the 32,000, and God didn't take 32,000. In fact, He had 20,000 of them go away because they were full of fear. And then He took the rest of them and He whittled it down to 300. But I will tell you this, God can do more with a few that are on fire and set aside for His glory with a mighty army. God can do things that we can't, because it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Zechariah had it right, did he not? God must receive all the glory. in any church around, in any of our lives. If you really want to see God move in your life, then you need to make sure that all the glory is being directed to Him. Because the minute that you and I start taking the glory unto ourselves is the minute that we'll see the hand of God lift and we'll see Ichabod written over the house. Ichabod means the Lord has departed. Friend, I do not want to ever see that name written over our house, over my house as an individual. Unfortunately, it happens and it plays out in so many people's lives. But can we commit today to not seeing that word engraved on our lives? Let's have the word holy unto the Lord written over our lives. Just like the priests of old, they used to walk around, they didn't get it. They thought it was about all this outward adornment, and they had these little boxes on the front, and it was inscribed on there, holy unto the Lord, and they walked around all proud. But really what it was about the heart. You see, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. What does He see when He looks at your heart? Does He see one that's consecrated and set aside for Him and says, holy unto the Lord? I pray that that is our prayer and that is our hunger in the house, is to say, holy unto the Lord. Thank you, Father. God must receive all the glory. It's like, you know, when we were talking about these things with fear, okay? Fear will cripple us. Fear will hold us back. It's like trying to row a boat completely across a river. We're supposed to go over there, but you still have a rope tied to the shore. You can only go so far, and then you're going to bump into that. And it will take a lot of effort to get rid of that. But sometimes what we need to do is allow Holy Spirit to come in, and He needs to just take that machete and just hack that thing off, and so that we can actually sail and go where the places that God wants us to go. Amen? Amen. So today I want to wrap it up with this. Fear of the unknown or fear of change. Huh. We love that word, don't we? Change. Some people, yeah, Sarah T. We don't like change. We like it in our pockets. Oh, we like to have everything just the way it's supposed to go. That's the way it's supposed to be. But I want to talk a little bit today about the fear of the unknown or the fear of change. But I want to tell you, the Christian walk that you and I walk is a walk of change. It is a walk of faith. And it needs to be a walk that's directed by the Spirit of God. See, you and I are called to walk by the Spirit, right? We're not called to walk by the flesh and walk by the ways of the world. We're called to walk by the Spirit. We're not called to follow mere traditions. We are called to follow Jesus. And not only are we called to follow Jesus, we are called to radically follow Jesus. Let that sink in. We're not called to just be adherents. We're called to be radical followers of Jesus. One of the first things that Jesus said to any of them that came to Him, He said, come and follow me. Can we say follow me? Follow me. Come and follow me. Fear of the unknown, the fear of change, it's rooted truly in an issue of trust. Okay? There's been a breach in the dam somewhere, the dam of trust. And somewhere in your life, somewhere, you know, it's just kind of shaking you to the point where it's hard to trust anything that doesn't look just like I think it should. But fear of the unknown or fear of change, it's rooted in that. But Jesus said, come and follow me. He was calling the disciples and is calling us to a radical trust. Can I say this? Lack of trust can hinder us. It can hinder us. It can keep you from doing the very things that God has called you to do. And I did a message. There's actually a trust series still on the website. I'd encourage you to look at it. But trust is the very thing that activates our faith. Remember I had the chair up here, and the chair, if the chair was faith, but you actually have to sit in the chair. That's trust, when you actually have the action of sitting in the chair. Mark 1:17, Matthew 4:19, they both said, Jesus said, come follow me. And then in Luke 5:11, Jesus said, come follow me. But not only that, it says that they forsook everything, and they followed him. See, they were venturing out into an unknown, weren't they? They didn't know what everything was going to look like, but they knew in their hearts that this was the right thing to do because the Spirit of God was quickening them. And when they heard the voice of the Lord speak to them, they said, I have to give up everything for him. All throughout God's Word, we see examples of radical trust, don't we? Abandoning the comfortable. Oh. We like our comforts, don't we? Abandoning the comfortable for the adventure, the joy-filled journey with the Lord. See, sometimes when we say we're abandoning the comfortable, we don't realize that what we're signing up for is an adventure. We're signing up for a joy-filled journey. Why is it joy-filled? Because we're right in the center of what God wants us to do. And in the presence of the Lord, there is what? Fullness of joy. All right, I'm seeing some heavy eyelids out here. Are we okay? Okay. Praise God. All throughout His Word, we see these examples. How about Noah? For crying out loud, it had never rained. The Word of the Lord comes to Noah, says, I want you to build an ark. Hallelujah. Abraham, setting out. Do you think Abraham maybe once in a while just had a question mark? Gosh, when is this ever going to happen? In fact, I think a couple times he tried to take matters into his own hands. It didn't end up so well for him, did it? But the reality is he set out. He heard the word of the Lord and he set out. David, Elijah, Gideon, Peter, Andrew, James, John, all of these individuals were human just like you and me, but yet they heard the voice of the Lord, they stepped out and were obedient. They weren't perfect individuals. They needed to be redeemed just like you and I do. But the truth is they had something inside of them that was beyond the culture, and they said, I want to be a culture changer. I don't want to just swim alone. Along with what everybody else is doing. I want to actually follow God, even when it looks ridiculous to some people. You know that Noah had some people come and mock him from time to time. What are you talking about, rain, Noah? Rain? Flood? Oh, you're an idiot. You don't think people were mocking him and all of that? We know that that took place, friends. But yet he stood on the word of the Lord that God gave him. And I will tell you, the truth is that when you hear the call of God on your life, even if it's something as simple as just entering into a place of service in the church, it could be ushering, it could be teaching students, it could be being involved in kids ministry, it could be greeting at the front door, any of those things, all of those things, if we're obedient to God. But if we're honest, sometimes those things can spark fear in all of us. Why? Because we're coming face to face with the things that we have grown to depend on. The very things that we consider to be normal. The very things that we think are going to provide that stability. Friends, the stability in your Christian walk is not going to come from how neat and orderly everything is in your life. It's going to come from following Jesus. Now, I believe in order. I believe in doing things with excellence. And I believe that if you have a home, you should keep your house nice. You know, why not? Why don't you use that as a means to say, I give you glory, God? Just saying. I've been in some homes. I'm not saying in here, okay. I knew that was coming. But here we go. Systems built by men. Religious practices and methods that have long since lost their life. And we hang on to those things, and we hang on to those things as if somehow those are going to produce the life that God has for us. See, God is constantly moving. He's constantly speaking. He's continually challenging all of us to live a fearless life. Everybody say fearless. Fearless. Life is change and adapting to that change. The one constant in life that never changes, though, is Him. Because the Bible says, His Word says, that He doesn't change. His methods might change. He might call us to use a different method, but He does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, you see. Jesus, the person, is what we need. We don't need His method. See, can I tell you something? God is not tied to how we do church. God is not tied to a method. God is not tied to a certain song or a genre of music. God is not tied to that. But our methods and the things that we use, okay, to do church, they need to be tied to Him. Did you hear what I said there? We need to be tied to Him. And where He leads, then we need to follow. See, when He moves, I move with Him. When He moves and I resist, it never works out well, and you know that. It takes that old song that we used to sing. I can't even hardly sing it anymore because it took on a whole new meaning because I watched some people, I will not be moved. And they would sing it with a scowl on their face. That's right, I'm not going to be moved. I mean, it almost scared you. I was just like, wow, man, these people are serious. Thank you, Rodney. But when He moves, we got to move with Him. See, when there's a fear of the unknown, we can develop false securities. We can develop false securities in comfort in the things that we know, okay? And there's some of that, the things that we're familiar with. We need some of that, don't we? Okay? But I will tell you, it can be very costly if we don't move with God. 2 years ago, I preached a message. It was when we were looking at the Jericho series. And we looked at the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Joshua, okay? I'll just make this quick. He was crossing over Jordan, and he was leading Israel into the promised land. But these tribes, the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they came to Joshua, and they said, listen, Joshua, we've been with you out here, and we really like what we got on the east side of the Jordan here, and we just like to stay here. They're just getting ready to go into the promised land. But Joshua says to them, he says, you know what? Okay, but you are going to come and fight with us. All right? And they did that. And they fought with Israel. And then they returned to the land that they desired. But here's the thing. The truth of the matter is they were driven by fear of the unknown. They had been going out around and they'd seen so many people that of their family lost out in that desert. And they saw a whole generation of people. In fact, we know that there was only two clans that went into the promised land that started out of Egypt, and that was Caleb and Joshua's clan. But they fought and they returned. But they were driven by fear. They were driven by fear of the unknown. And they forfeited God's best for them and ultimately paid a price for their choice. Because on the east side, what happened was they were vulnerable to attack. And on the east side, the Assyrians eventually took them captive, and they became a non-factor in the history of Israel. You see, friends, I don't know about you, but I don't want to forfeit God's best because I have a preference. I have preferences, but I also am very challenged all the time by God to step out and do some things differently. I will tell you, I have a preference in my own life. I don't really want to get into this social media world. But I also feel the Holy Spirit speaking to me that you need to actually be willing to go into that world because that is the world of the millennials. And the millennials need Jesus just as much as I do. That's challenging to me. It's a foreign concept to many. Some people just say, well, I'm just I'm not tech savvy and I'm not going to be tech savvy. And that's okay. But I know when God is speaking to me about this that I need to obey and I need to step into that. And I push against it and fight against it, all these things. And when I do that, I realize when I study God's Word and I prepare and these types of things that I'm forfeiting something when I'm resisting God. Can we just say that together that we're not going to forfeit God's best for our preferences, friends? On the east side, They stayed. And on the east side, they were wiped out of Israel's history. How about the rich young ruler? Okay? The rich young ruler in Mark 10, 17 through 27. Jesus called him to radically follow him because this young man came up to him. He had everything that this world could offer, didn't he? He had money, he had resources, he had people, friends, all this stuff. And he came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, what do I need to do? What is it that I need to do? I've followed the commandments. I've done this, done that. But Jesus exposed the heart and he went right to it. And Jesus called him to radically follow him and by letting go of the very things that had a hold of him. And he said, go and sell all of your possessions and give to the poor. And then come, follow me. See, Jesus knew that his possessions had a hold of him. And I would venture to challenge many of you that sometimes our possessions can even get a hold of us. If God called you to surrender it, could you? If God called you to give away something that was very precious to you, maybe it was even a car, maybe it was something that somebody had a need of, and you know Holy Spirit spoke to you and said, I want you to do this. Would you do it? Does God own everything in your life? And see, the danger for me in preaching a message like this is I know that He's going to challenge me somewhere along these lines. But are we willing? Do we recognize? Do we have the revelation in our lives that He owns it all? Do we understand that He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? He owns the hills! That's the God that we serve, amen? See, Jesus was showing the rich young ruler that his heart was attached to the wrong things. The man had a dilemma. He desired eternal life, but he was unwilling to let go of the very things that were ensnaring him. Why? Because it was an unknown charted territory. He had security. He had all of these things lined up in his life, and he felt secure in that. But he had a fear of the unknown, of what could be. See, we all like to know what it's all going to look like, don't we? We all want to know. We just got all the I's dotted and the T's crossed, and boy, we've got plans for our lives. I've heard it said many times, and many of you heard it said, if you want to make God laugh, make plans. There's a fear of letting go. There's a fear of leaving the comfort zone. Stephen the martyr, Paul on the road, John on the island of Patmos. You know, the thing that I love about John, you know, these guys all signed up. These were radical followers of Jesus. They did not know what was going to happen. Stephen didn't know that he was going to be able to stand up in front of the Sanhedrin, okay? In one of the highest councils in Israel. And he was going to preach the word of God to them. And he was going to be stoned. He didn't know that. But the other thing that he didn't know was that while he was being stoned, he was going to look up and he was going to see heaven open and he was going to see the Son of Man not seated at the right hand of the Father, but standing at the right hand of the Father in honor of his martyr. You think that might have made it worth it? It was an unknown. He didn't realize that. John, the ventures that he went through in his life, here he is, if you read in Revelation, he was on the island of Patmos. He had been boiled in oil. He had gone through all kinds of persecutions. He had been sent out there alone. But it says this. It says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He never lost his sense of adventure. Even with the difficulties and all the heartaches and all the things, because he lived fearlessly. He wasn't fearing man. He wasn't fearing failure. He wasn't fearing the unknown. He knew that whatever he went through, God was going to go through it with him. And that's why at the end of his life, he could be out there on that island all by himself and say, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Isn't that beautiful? See, friends, we are called to let our fear go. We are called to exchange our fear for the great adventure. Yes, we're going to face difficulty. Yes, we're going to face challenges. But we need to understand what true security really is. We need to understand that when we say yes to Jesus, we are saying yes to joy, we are saying yes to life, and we are saying yes to His love. And I will tell you this, His perfect love casts out all fear, the fear of man, the fear of failure, the fear of the unknown, the fear of any phobia you could have, the fear of bumblebees, the fear of spiders, the fear of green carpet, the fear of whatever it is that you might have. The perfect love of our God casts out all fear. Amen. And I will tell you this, there's a reason. There's a reason why He casts out fear. It's so that you and I can win souls for the kingdom of God. That's what it's all about. Now I'm going to show you a video of what fearless living can look like. Go ahead.
Heaven went bankrupt to redeem your soul from the pit so that God can redeem your mind so that you can actually think like a Christian instead of confess to be one. All your guilt and your shame and your condemnation is wiped out and you really aren't trying to fake a smile. You can't help but to smile because your heart sees Jesus. And you're in love with God and everything in you is so in love with God that you can't help but to share your faith, because what kind of love is this? And then when someone's angry at you or someone's mad at you, it might sting a little at first, but all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, your comforter, the one that brings you peace, the Prince of Peace, the one that He said is another, I'm going to send another just like me, another. Something had to give Peter courage to preach. Something had to happen to him that he had courage to share his faith, that 3,000 people without a microphone, that's a lot of people. What does that mean? God's breathing back in His creation again.
Hey, let me see your tats. You like art?
Art, faz parte da sua vida. Você gosta de arte?
Yeah. You're an artist. So real creative. Have you ever desired to do animation?
Você já desejou fazer animação, tipo cartoon?
Animation, yeah. So I feel in my heart that what I heard,
eu sinto no meu coração o que eu ouvi,
was that you're going to end up in a career,
foi que você vai se encontrar numa carreira,
to where you're going to help to design animation.
Isso é totalmente diferente.
Something that the world has never seen.
Algo que o mundo jamais viu.
You have that grace upon you, man. My parents gave me up when I was little. So started drugs at 11. Fully hooked, 11 years old. Brian from Korn. Korn? Hooked on drugs from little kid. Same. And I didn't realize the value of life. Like when you were born, you were born into a family that didn't know how valuable you were. Same as me. My mom and dad didn't know the value of life. Same stuff. Brian, the same stuff. A lot of people, the same stuff. So I became suicidal. I wanted to put a gun to my head and be done with my life. So 7.5 years later, I went out and I ripped off a drug dealer. He was in my car. I told him I was a cop. Get out of the car, put your hands on the hood. And when I did, he opened up. A full clip of a 9mm.
acelerador para fugir.
I heard a voice.
Eu ouvi uma voz.
When the bullets came out.
Quando as balas foram lançadas.
The voice said, I took those bullets for you.
A voz disse, eu tomei essas balas por você.
Are you ready to live for me?
Você está pronto para viver por mim?
I've done the Ouija boards.
Eu já mexi com
the tarot cards.
Ouija, o tarot.
I've done it all.
Já fiz tudo.
I couldn't find peace.
Eu não podia encontrar paz.
That night,
mas
I heard that voice.
Eu ouvi essa voz.
I got home. I thought I was bleeding.
Quando eu cheguei em casa, eu achei que eu estava sangrando.
There were no bullets in my car.
Não tinha nenhuma bala no meu carro.
From 3 meters.
De uma distância de 3 metros.
And the voice wouldn't go away.
E a voz não fugia.
I went away.
Eu fugi.
To a rehab. Another rehab.
Para outro caso de recuperação.
And I was there for 2 months.
E eu tava lá por 2 meses.
And I had 3 nights in a row.
E eu tinha 3 noites em seguidas.
Where I met Jesus.
Quando eu encontrei Jesus.
I didn't meet church.
Eu não encontrei a igreja.
I didn't meet religion.
Eu não encontrei a religião.
I met him.
Eu encontrei
Jesus. Told me he was the voice.
Ele me falou que eu
he
sou.
He rocked my life.
E ele mudou a minha vida de forma total.
He changed my everything.
Ele mudou meu coração.
He made me a dad.
Ele me fez pai.
And I came home.
Quando eu cheguei em casa.
And my girlfriend.
E a minha namorada.
Met Jesus when I went away.
Tinha encontrado Jesus também quando eu estava de fora.
And we got married 4 days later.
Nós casamos 4 dias depois.
And that was 14 years ago. Man, I'm telling you, he loves you. I promise. Okay? Hey, I love you. I love you so much, bro. Can I pray for you? Yeah, come. Come here. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus. Bless my friend. Bless him. Let him know how much you love him, God. I thank you in Jesus' name. Show him who he is, God. In Jesus' name. Let him be that animator. Let him make those cartoons. In Jesus' name. Sometimes people say, well, why didn't you get him to pray the prayer? Why didn't you get him saved? Why didn't you do this? First of all, you don't get anybody saved. We sow, we water. God brings the increase. God is the one that does the saving. We are his vessels. But I can't be so after their jugular vein that I'm not realizing that God's after their heart. I believe that kid's going to go home, and I believe the Holy Spirit's going to be up all night, and what he'll do is say, I love you. I've always loved you. That man was from me. He was a messenger. He loves you. And I always pray after I touch somebody, if I don't see them come to Jesus, I always pray, God, send forth laborers into the harvest field, right where they are. God, let them be totally swamped with Christians that love God. Let them be surrounded. Let other people water where I just sowed. God, bring increase, bring increase, bring increase. I have faith in seed. I have faith that God says, when the seed is sown, it grows up. I have faith that somebody's will that's dominated by lies and principalities has nothing on someone's will that's possessed by truth and hopes the best. I just believe that his free will that's blinded by lies cannot dominate my will that is possessed by the truth that God wants all people to be saved and that they come to the knowledge of him.
We got to change how we talk, friends, and how we respond to culture and people. I don't know about you, but I probably would have just looked at that guy and just wanted nothing to do with him. He's used to that reaction, but that's just fear. That's just fear. But true love is fearless. True love enters in and is obedient, you see. We stand to our feet this morning. If you'd go ahead with that, Justin. I'm going to ask something of us this morning as a church. I realize that we're a couple minutes over. I hope we're okay. All right? I would like for us to come together just as a family. I don't know this a lot, but I feel this morning led in my heart for us as a family just to come to the altars together. Just all of us, come on down. This isn't like a big answer to a certain call or specific. Come all up, fill this. Just kind of circle around. Those of you who come on Wednesday nights, just make a big, let's just all come together. Sweetie, come on over. Come on up. We got room. Make room. Just come on in. Come on in. We can make a couple rows. That's okay. And you can. Make room for those who need to sit down. I know Rose probably needs to sit. Come on up. We're all good. It's all good. It's all good. Yeah, we're all in this together. We're a family. Families aren't perfect. Families have flaws. Families have issues and stuff. But I'm here to tell you that this next generation here is worth it. And we need to live fearlessly for God. We need to live fearlessly. Because when we do, there's joy, there's peace, there's love, there's hope, there's goodness. There's all these things that we so dearly desire in our lives. Is it really that simple? Yeah. In His presence, there is fullness of joy. Perfect love, Jesus, casts out all fear. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, yeah, there we go. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Go ahead and grab the hand of somebody next to you, or shoulder, whichever. So Lord, today we humble ourselves before You. We admit, God, there's times that we give in to fear. There's times that we fear man. There's times that, God, we fear failure. And there's times, God, that we fear change and the unknown. But God, we're committed today just to lay that fear down at Your feet at this altar. And Father, together as a family, I pray that we would encourage one another, that we would speak words of life towards one another that will help foster a fearless atmosphere, Lord God. Not in some cavalier way, but God, in a way that is led by You, Holy Spirit. So we pray for Your leading and for Your guidance. And we just cast fear down in Jesus' name. And we raise up perfect love. We lift up the name of Jesus. We exalt the name of Jesus over every fear in this place. I pray, God, that You will repair the breach of trust that's been broken in many lives. I pray where there's forgiveness needed, that, God, You will just impart forgiveness to the heart, I pray. Father, we just lay down our preferences, and we lay down, Father God, our methods, and we're asking You, God, to lead us into our future together. May the years ahead together, God, be filled with Your glory. May they be filled with Your presence. And may they be filled, Father God, with people coming to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, God. I pray over our young people today, Lord God. I pray, Father God, that you will anoint them and equip them, Father God, that they will not waste their teenage years, Lord God, but I pray that these years would be profitable and useful, Father God, that you will use them, God, right now, Father God, as they are, for your glory. And for those, God, who are here today that are just kind of searching and wondering what to do next, or maybe they're just struggling with how to go about life, I pray, God, that you will supernaturally visit them in the watches of the night and speak to their hearts and help them, Father God. I pray, Father God, that you will resurrect dreams in this place, Father God. That you will resurrect, Father God, aspirations, Father God, for your kingdom. That I pray out of this group would rise up missionaries, Father God, and pastors and teachers and evangelists, Father God, that are called according to your purpose, Lord God. And I say an end to investing our resources in this world system. And I pray, Father God, that we will surrender all that we have into your kingdom, into your system, Father God. We love you, and we praise you, and we give you all the glory. I pray a blessing over this family of God. I pray, God, that your hand would be upon each and every one, be upon their families, be upon their wives and their husband and their children. Father God, I pray that you will use them, God, mightily for your glory forever and ever. To you be the glory, Father God. We love you, and we praise you, and we all said together, amen, 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 amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.